Welcome to Kadan, the Small Steps podcast, where we try to showcase individual perspectives of recent graduates about different pathways of life. I'm Arjit Singh, and today I will continue to try to uncover what it means to have a traditional career. I was out for a week due to COVID, and I apologize for that. If you've been following the news, you have probably heard how bad India's situation has been for the last few weeks. We don't really know who or what to blame anymore. The government, the people that bribe to get out of quarantine, or those that hoard or make a profit on important resources. What's been most bizarre to me has been the fake medicines, and injections that are being sold in the black market for multiple times the price. It's unthinkable how the financially and medically unstable have been going through it. It's not only incredibly disturbing, but shameful what some people will do for little profit. To say the least, it's really a survival of the fittest, like many have never seen before. However, it's not the negatives that take us through life. It's the thousands of positive stories and donations that people have been making from all over the world that help us get through. It's what each one of us can do from our side that really makes and helps us feel like we are an important part of society, at least those that care to do that. For now, I'd like to divert your attention from that and bring it to this, because like I said, it's what we do when we can that really matters in the end. How we come out of the pandemic on the other side is what will really make a lot of the difference. So let's start the show. So today I have got with me someone I believe is going through another untraditional career, from graduating with honors in industrial design in 2019 to now attending Ole Miss Law School with a full scholarship. She's someone I believe truly does what she wants, how she wants it. She defines herself as a person that loves anything that challenges her. She also believes that one of the most important skills she has gained over the years is just about how to be a good person. Since graduation, she's had three different jobs, one of which she quit due to poor management, another where she was laid off from due to COVID-19, and one that she is in now, that's actually least related to her field of study, but one she believes has made her feel most appreciated and loved. Without any more from me, let's welcome Lee Hicks and hear the rest from her. Welcome, Lee, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Arjit. Thanks for that awesome intro.
Hey, I try.
Spoiling me.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that before, but I mean, I think it's, sometimes I don't do justice to people's introductions because I don't know, like, I think we're all going to do big things. So I'm really just banking it on that. All right. So from our time together, I've really known you to be just a little bit of the rebel, essentially someone that stands up for themselves and for what they believe in is right or what they deserve. So that's where I would like to start the show from. And I would want to ask you if you could tell me a little bit about that quality, or if you think that is a quality that you have, and where did you develop it?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that part of me being a rebel definitely comes from the family that I was raised into. I was raised in the traditional South with pretty, you know, surrounded by traditional values. And my parents definitely have traditional values, but at the same time, the thing that they have always pushed and everyone in my family has always pushed is just loving people no matter what. And sadly, in our society, loving people no matter what is not always the traditional cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. So my family's always been a little bit different than everyone else around us in the terms of how we accept people and how we love people. And I think that did a lot for me in my growth.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So,
sorry, go ahead.
I think also something that's really important to me is just continuing to grow and learn from your circumstances. And I feel like if you don't rebel against certain things, you don't necessarily get that growth. So it's definitely a quality that I'm not ashamed to have.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's something to be proud of more than being ashamed of, for sure. Because, I mean, I think it's very important to speak up for yourselves and for those around you. And I think you're definitely one of those people that I truly believe is going to do that for the rest of her life. So really proud of you for that. And where would one circumstance be where you like where you can remember that you did that and you're really proud of?
That's a tough question. Let's see. It's hard for me to think of a specific incident.
That's
I think
okay.
that I see it a lot, not specifically, but in the job that I have now, because I'm working with kids and teaching them to stand up for themselves in a way that's respectful and not intrusive, which I know necessarily isn't me doing it, but I think I can only do it because I've done it so much in my life that I'm able to, you know, help other people see that, like, you know, it's okay to stand up for yourself. You don't have to do it in a way that makes other people uncomfortable, but sometimes you have to.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it comes along from not just like standing up in like the corporate world or anything like that, but also against sometimes pushy parents or something like
right,
that.
Right, you know, exactly.
I think it's important to set those boundaries and stuff like that too. So that makes a lot of sense in teaching the kids. And maybe that's something we can bring up in a little bit. But for now, I think I want to bring up where you worked or where you worked after graduation and how that has shaped a couple of things. So you worked for a company that did custom design jobs for like private jets, if I'm not wrong, right?
So it was a private jet company and I basically handled their graphic design and marketing.
Okay.
So they're a custom tailored company, but they didn't custom make jets, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that ended up, I think, being not one of your favorite jobs or right. favorite places to be. Would you say that was some of the toughest time for you up until now or since graduation at least, and why?
Yeah, it definitely was. I got really lucky that I had amazing people that I worked with. So I had probably about 5 people that were my age, which I think is really unusual for a lot of us coming into industry to be with people our own age. But then I did have some people that were older than me that I also just was able to relate to really well. So that took care of my mental health a lot. I don't think I would have been as okay without that. But overall, I wasn't challenged by the job. I had a hard time getting my point across to people that were above me, especially being so new onto the scene. Even though I was a professional in my field, there was only one other designer in the entire building. I wasn't respected as such because I was right out of school. And for someone that we're talking about me being a rebel, that didn't really sit right because I knew my opinions were valuable and I didn't feel like I was receiving that acknowledgement or recognition at all.
Yeah, no, that definitely can be tough. And why would you say that was? Like, because you did say that, you know, you had a few people at least that were really, I guess, in our age group or anything like that, but also people that understood you, you know, so good people.
Right.
And that could be managers, that could be anybody that's above you too. But right. What were some of the major issues that you think you faced?
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with me. And I think that I was in the wrong role. So from someone's perspective that had just gotten out of design school and just really wanted to get their foot in the door somewhere. And this is not a place that you could have progressed in. I was in the only design role in the company, but just somewhere you could get that experience background that everyone's looking for, then it probably would have been a good job. But I went into it with the idea of having more of a voice than I was going to be able to have in the long run, which is where we just butted heads and it didn't end up working out.
Okay. So I guess what was one of your favorite things that you gained from the job?
Oh man, I learned so much, unbelievable amount. I didn't know how to work with people. I didn't know how to answer the phone and say, this is so-and-so company. My name is Lee Hicks. How can I help you? Or call someone and do the same thing. So that was just a huge point for me in the very beginning, is just learning how to call an advertiser and talk about getting an ad in a magazine. I also got to do some really cool things. I went on a private shoot of one of our planes, one of our big Challengers, and we got to take pictures of it. So I rode in a little camera plane and also rode in the big plane. So that was really neat. And I don't know, definitely learning how to deal with people, because I never had a job where I really had to deal with people.
Yeah. And I think one other job that you mentioned was what you were doing in school, right? So for the turf grass company. And how can you relate that back to what you learned at this job?
Yeah, that job, you know, I worked with plants, not people. So that made a big difference. But I learned a lot of just hardworking skills in that job, not a grin and bear it. I had great bosses that really looked out for me and ended up being parent figures to me throughout college. So management was never an issue in my college job. But the work was boring. They would tell you that too. I mean, sometimes I was literally counting roots and measuring pieces of grass, like for hours on it. But, you know, learning how to deal with that type of work in that, you know, it's not always going to be flying on a private jet and taking pictures. Sometimes you're counting grass, but if you can learn how to work with that and, you know, maybe challenge yourself like, oh, can I find a more efficient way to count? Or like, you know, just make little challenges with yourself. That's how I got through it. But I think that taught me more of like the hard skills of working, and the next job taught me more of the soft skills of just being able to have a conversation on the phone with someone and not bug up and not know what to say.
Yeah. And from my understanding, you know, you're a person that likes to take life as it comes again and take it at a step at a time, right? So I'd like to connect that to college and design, and then maybe talk about some other jobs that you've had in the past other than the turf grass or your first job with the plane company. Right. And also talk about how and why you chose to pursue law coming from that. Mm-hmm. Do you wish to maybe connect those two in the future, or what do you think the design degree is worth if that's not something that you are thinking about?
One thing the design degree will always be worth, no matter what I end up doing, is it taught me how to problem solve. And my dad and brother are both engineers, and I always heard them say that, like, oh, engineering is just problem solving, it's just learning how to solve problems. And it just always sounded kind of silly to me. I'm like, oh, are we putting together puzzles? Like, that's kind of a weird thing to say about your job. Right. But then when I started going through industrial design, I was like, oh, wait, we're learning how to problem solve too, but we're learning how to make it pretty. So it's just like an added little dimension onto it. And I've always loved art and appreciated pretty things. So for me, that just really was a solid connection, because I know how to do problem solving, and now I get to make it pretty too. And that's cool. So it's kind of fun for me at the same time. But I mean, it taught me so many skills about, it's crazy, like this chair I'm sitting in, I drew it.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting in it. That's right. So cool that we can do that. You know, like that's a skill set that not many people have. That's something to really, you know, you can use that in anything.
For
not
sure.
Just building a computer. So I think, you know, if I go into criminal law that has nothing to do with design at all, I'm still going to be problem solving. And I wouldn't be as talented at that if I did not have a design career or design education.
Yeah. And what would be, I think, if I think about it, I mean, what would be one or the most important skill that you think you're going to bring other than problem solving?
Probably the ability to approach things differently, to look at things from different angles, which I guess kind of goes with problem solving, but just being able to take a problem and spin it around and look at it a different way. I think we are required to do that all the time in school. And then in jobs too, when you're designing, you know, you have to really look at it from the opposite side to be able to create it for the user.
Yeah. And so after that, I guess you did switch jobs. And like you said, you're right now teaching students and, you know, you're in school. So what exactly do you do as part of your current job? And why do you think you are happier where you are now than some of the other roles that you've taken in the past?
I do just about everything you could think of at a school besides sweep the floors. And I do that sometimes too, but I teach, I substitute, I assistant teach, I work the front desk. Today I made balloon archways for the upcoming third graders night. So there's no telling what I'm doing day to day, but that's part of the fun of it, is just getting to do random jobs and get paid for it.
I mean, hey, that's design, right?
You know, there's some design making balloon arches. That's right. Put that on the resume. I told them today at school, I was like, I'm putting this on the resume because this is a skill. Now that I can make balloon arches, that's check off the box. But
definitely.
I think Oh, let's see. The other things I really love about it, selfishly, is getting to hang out with kids all day. I think it's so good for your brain, and they are so loving and are just so kind with their time. And I think they're 8 to 10 years old, the kids I'm working with. So it's a really interesting time in their lives because they have all the technology you and I have, and access to pretty much everything we have, unless their parents are monitoring it. And even then, those little jokers know how to get around every firewall there is. So,
definitely.
You know, they're super smart kids, but they're still innocent. They're still kids, you know, so there's so much value in their little beings, I think. And I just love their love too. You know, getting hugged 8 times a day is never going to make anybody sad.
Definitely.
But I think the other thing I really appreciate about the job is how much my principal and my staff at the school appreciate me. I never feel underappreciated. I never feel like I'm worthless. Like, I always feel like every day I'm needed somewhere for something, and I'm always thanked for it. And that makes a huge difference. You don't realize that until no one thanks you for what you do. And then you're like, wait a minute, I deserve some appreciation. Just one or two thank yous would be nice, you know?
Right. And I don't think a lot of people do that more than kids at school. You know, I think they're very appreciable, but also I think there's a little bit of innocence there that actually makes it a lot more worth it, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting that getting that appreciation from a lot of other people and jobs and stuff can be helpful. But at the same time, I think it's something about just getting like the unconditional respect and stuff from those students can definitely make the difference. So how did you land in that job? Like, was that something that you had planned to do, or, you know, were just looking for jobs?
Definitely not. Yeah, you said it best when you said I take things step by step, because that's definitely what I do. So I got laid off from an in-between job that I had during COVID, spent a little bit of time figuring things out. And then I grew up, my mom helps run an organization in my hometown, which happens to be Auburn, where she and a group of other people have bought these houses right beside a low-income neighborhood, and they run an after-school program, a tutoring program. And I've done that for the past, geez, I think 5 years, 6 years. So that's just been an integral part of my life, was just going and tutoring.
Okay.
So when I was looking for a job, it was almost time for school to start back up. And I was like, you know, I could be a tutor at the school. So I got a call for an interview as a tutor, and they just completely gave me a different job, and I had no idea. And they told me what I was getting paid. They told me the hours, and I was like, those are weird hours for a tutor, but whatever. Okay, I'll do it. And next thing you know, I'm working at elementary school. So that's how that happened. But here we are, you know.
And hey, making balloon arches. Yeah, no,
definitely. It's working out. So.
And what did you tutor in the last 5 or 6 years? And is that something or a subject that you always had interest in, or where did you develop that interest of tutoring?
I probably did everything, but definitely the subject that I enjoy the most, and I think that I'm best at helping others with, is math. Because I think about math completely differently than Common Core, which is what we have in Mississippi and we had in Alabama. And a lot of kids don't think that way. So I think that for me to be able to look at it a different way, it's kind of going back to, you know, one of those skills we learn in school, but just seeing something from a different angle.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's one thing I've learned in school too, is kids have different brains. One of the coolest things I did, I asked a few of the kids, we were trying to envision a math problem. And I was like, okay, close your eyes and think about a beach. Can you see it? And half the kids could see it in their heads. Half of them couldn't. So how are you going to tell a kid to divide 20 apples into 5 piles if he can't see that in his head? You know, he needs to look at that problem differently, because that doesn't work for him. So that was really neat that I've kind of learned that everybody thinks a little bit differently. So
yeah. That's a great thing to do. And I guess it comes along with problem solving and stuff like that too, you know, being able to help the kids envision that, you know, or take a couple of different examples if the first one didn't work, you know,
right.
and help people, I think, get through that. I think so. The people skills that we learned, of course, with design and I guess on the other jobs and stuff that you did too, I think that definitely does bring in a lot for us wherever we go. So definitely interesting to learn. And I guess I'd like to bring one of your quotes from our survey, because I think it really connects all this together. And here it goes. Go where you are appreciated and never stop growing. Stagnancy is the worst thing you can do to yourself and the quickest way to burn out. If you can't get your job to do that for you, then find a hobby. And what has been one of your hobbies? I know that you've been into yoga a lot, and that's something that you've been practicing for quite some time now. And is that something that you think has helped you get through some of the tough times, or is there other things that you do that you think other people can gain from?
Right. Definitely yoga was huge for me. And it kind of goes back to that quote that you read of mine. When I was working at my first company and I started really not feeling as satisfied from it, I didn't really have any other options. So I was looking for them, but they weren't coming up. I live in a town of, I think, 200,000 people. You know, there aren't just design jobs bursting at the seams, and I wasn't in a place where I could just move. So I started, you know, trying to find things, but that wasn't happening. And so I started getting that real stagnant feeling of nothing is growing in my life. And I was doing yoga at the time just as a workout, and I wanted to learn more about it. So I went through the teacher training and, you know, very cliche, but definitely learned a lot more about myself than I learned about yoga. But I think that's, to me, what yoga is all about, is uniting your body and your mind in a way that you can let go and touch in with yourself or with whatever's the bigger, higher power in your life more. And that's what it's always intended to be. So it's been huge for me. I instruct more is just a way to learn more about it, but the practice is what I really love.
Yeah. And has there been mentors that have also helped you get through some of those times, or people that you look up to or go to for help in certain times like that? Anyone that really comes to mind when you think of somebody like that, or any books or other media that you kind of go to?
Yeah, definitely. I read a lot of self-help type things, but I would say person-wise, if I had to pick someone out, it'd be my mom. And she and I have been typical mom-daughter relationship. You know, we've been close at times and not close at times. We're definitely closer now. She's the first person I call when something happens. But just as a person to be kind of a rock for me and a solid place, I think she's probably my biggest mentor, just based off of that, because when I get to a place where I'm not feeling solid, she can be solid for me. I think everybody needs that in someone or in something. Sure. You don't have, you know, like you're saying, if there's a book or media you can go to, it's so essential to have somebody to ground you.
Mm-hmm. And other than yoga, has there been any other practice that you follow that has helped you come out of other tough situations and stuff like that during your let's say you're at work and something comes up, what do you go to?
I listen to a lot of music. The biggest thing for me is the little lump sitting beside me on the floor. You can't see my dog, because if there's ever a day you want to swing out of a schedule and just not, you can't, because you have to get up and you have to walk the dog and you have to feed him and you have to make sure he's okay. So I think having something else to take care of, which I don't think is always the best coping strategy, but it helps you go through one for me. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Would not recommend getting a dog because you need someone to make you pull it together. Cause you know, don't want to exactly put another life form in that position, but for me, it's turned out to be a great solace. I also have my little garden outside that I take care of the same way. Awesome. You know, they need water every few days. You have to make sure they're getting enough sun. So
I think, I guess, being responsible and taking care of other things as well teaches you a whole lot. And with pets as well, I think I've had this discussion before where I think you can look at them as chores sometimes, you know, having to feed them, having to take them out. And you know, or having to clean because of them or what they do and stuff like that. I think that definitely does, or it can become a chore for some people, but it's how you, again, come out of that at the other end and think of what has, I guess, what you've gained from it, I think.
And right. So that's, I think, different. A good point on that is just developing routines, you know, if you're not necessarily taking care of things, just something that you do every day at a certain time. Yeah. Like that can seem really monotonous, but I think if you have enough things in your life that are keeping you going or keeping you, your mind busy in some way, good or bad, routine is a good stabilizer. So yeah, my dog, my plants are definitely my routine.
Definitely. And that's something that I've been, you know, trying to think of a lot more recently, just because of even influencers and stuff that, you know, some people don't really like to follow or whatever. But I think there's like a couple that I follow that actually, you know, wake up at 5 a.m. every day. And that's something that they like totally go by. You know, it's something that even if they've not slept enough, I think they'll take a nap or whatever it is. But they do get up at that certain time because that's something that they fix for themselves. And I think that can make a lot of the difference too.
Right. And especially being something like an influencer where your schedule wouldn't be as normal, you have to establish that for yourself or you're just thrown off.
Yeah. And let's bring it back a little bit to law. And again, how I guess you got into it, why you got into it, just some of the reasons and some of the places that you want to take that. Do you think you want to possibly like get into design law or just criminal law, or what is it and where do you think you're going to take it?
So definitely back to my one step at a time thing. You can't hold me to this because who knows what I'm going to be saying in a few months, but my goal right now is patent law. I remember back when we were in school, we had a patent lawyer come present to one of our classes, and I just thought it was cool. And then I also ended up doing some work when I was working for Pratt in college, where I was having to research patents. And then I think there may have been one other college studio where I was researching patents. And I don't know, it's kind of fun, which is super nerdy, but I think it's cool. So that's definitely an interest of mine. Also, just because my design education, you know, it's right there for me. I have tons of friends that are going to need patents in 3 years, so I can be a help for them, you know? So that's
good opportunity for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. But who knows? I mean, there's a lot of things that I've been going through recently that really upset me with how things are run. And I think that, you know, a law degree could also put me in a position where I could help things not be run so bad or poorly. So who knows? Maybe I'll go that direction too.
I could see you in politics for sure. I mean, if you ever, if you're ever lost, if you're ever lost for positions for getting into law, I think just come to India. We've got plenty that's happening right now and plenty that needs to be taken
care of. I'll come join the Indian government.
I think we need to change what's going on. You know, like you said, you know, like something.
I don't know if a white girl from Alabama will be accepted in that role.
Hey, don't worry about that. We've got connections. We'll just put you through something and get you to where you need to be. As long as, you know, you know you want to make a change. I mean, that's something I think a lot of the part of the country is looking for is change. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's at a place, like I said, you know, where we really don't know who to blame anymore.
Right.
But I definitely know that change needs to happen. So
I love having people like you in my life because I have a few other friends that are in different countries. And you know, besides what you see on the global news about a place, you don't really know much unless you're just researching into their livelihood. So hearing from people like you about what's happening in India makes me go look into it more. It's just super neat I love having your stuff on my feed because it, you know, informed on a part of the world that is so, you know, like it's an influential country, man. Like y'all aren't any joke over there.
You're biggest democracy, right? Yeah.
Right. I mean, like,
at least that's what we claim to be.
It's important to know what's happening in the world. I think.
I mean, I really don't know how well I portray that with some of the things I share, but I try at least to, you know, cross examine, let's say, some of the posts that some people post and see if it's actually happening, you know. And one of my closest friends is actually trying to be a part of the party that really rules or is ruling right now. Mm-hmm. And it goes against so many of my values or so many of those people. Yeah. Like, they'll just say stuff that does not make sense to me, you know? And so, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just gotta...
I think we're struggling with a little bit of that in America too right now. Funny how that works.
For sure, yeah. And that's something that I've talked to a lot of people that I still talk to in the US from as well, is how, I guess, similar that can be. And, you know, comparing the two countries or two governments, and like you said, you know, other places that it's happening as well. Comparing that, it can definitely be stressful, if nothing else. But I think we'll survive, you know, we have.
I think we will too. I definitely do. I definitely think with minds like ours, and, you know, seeing a lot more of the generation under us working with the 8 to 10 year olds, I think we're going to be okay. We've got some big challenges, but I think we're a resilient group of people. I really do.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about routines with some of that, and I don't know how well these political people do it. Really, they just show up to conferences and show up without masks and just all kinds of stuff. But let's bring it back to that and talk about balancing, like, professional and personal life. How do you do that? How do you set boundaries or timelines? And this is something I asked before too, but or from somebody else, but do you ever say no to people? And this can be for leisure or other work that they maybe want you to do, whether that is freelance or anything like that.
So far I've been lucky in my professional career to have jobs where I've been able to turn off at 5, and because I've had that as an option, I've been very strict about it. I don't take work home. I don't take it home mentally. I don't take it home physically. When I'm done with work, I'm done with work. And, you know, my first job where I was struggling, sometimes that would take me crying in the car before I left the parking lot. But when I was out of there, it was over, you know, and that I know is not something that everyone is able to do, especially if you're someone, I have a lot of friends in sales, a lot of friends that are on call 24/7. So I think, you know, it's not necessarily any sort of advice, but just the way I do it, I'm pretty strict with myself about that. I really value my personal time, and I really value my time with other people. And I haven't found a job yet that takes precedence over those things.
Okay, so nobody that has kind of challenged you to it, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so do you think that's possibly going to happen in the future? How do you think you're going to tackle that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I mean, especially if I get into something that, if my career is affecting other people's chance at having that choice to have a livelihood outside of work or outside of anything they're going through, then I think that it'll definitely take more of a role. How would I balance it? That's difficult. I think I'd probably set time constraints. I think that's the way that my brain works. I work on a schedule. So for me, it would be easier for me to say, you know, only so many hours devoted to this. I need this many hours of sleep, this many hours of wind down time, this many hours of social, you know, like dividing it up that way. But I think that would be key for me, because if I was just like, oh, I'll get this job done, then I'm going to work all night.
Yeah.
I would work until the job was done, and it would be 5 a.m., but I got the next day off. So that was cool. I guess it works for some people, but not for me.
And definitely something that I think a lot of us have gone through, and like, you know, we've done it in the time that we were in, just because I think we were bound to that. But coming out of that, I think we've learned not to do that for ourselves, and actually, you know, get in a mindset where we're just like, yeah, we don't want to take that home, you know, that kind of thing. So, do you think you're going to have, let's say, a business or anything like that, that, like you said, you're maybe going to be affecting other people, let's say, hopefully, or maybe, I don't know, but is that something that you think is in the works? Let's say, like, I mean, of course, like, you take it one step at a time, but is that something that you've considered?
I think definitely I would love to be my own boss one day. I think that's a very clear path for me. But if I can't necessarily make it work in my job, especially in something like law, depending on what I get into, it may be a scenario where I really have to be more of a team player than just on my own with employees under me. But one thing I do want to do to counterbalance that is, as soon as I have enough money, have myself a little wood shop where I can build furniture and just mess around. My grandfather does it. My dad does it. I'm going to go follow
I
their
want to do it
footsteps.
too, for
I
sure.
love
And
it. It's the
we'll do it
best.
together. If we're close enough, like, why
We
not?
can totally do it. We can set
Maybe.
up a little shop.
I don't know if it's going to be
Goods
Canada. I don't know if
from,
it's going to be on the
yeah,
border between Canada
exactly.
and the US.
We can have goods from wherever we are and just, I think
Right.
that'll make it cooler. We can have a
Yeah.
little combo.
Definitely. Definitely going to make some things like that work. Or just have like a couple different shops all over the place, when where we just visit. Like, we have
We
these
can go
visiting
see our
people.
shops.
We're
Yes.
having these visiting designers coming in, like doing
Absolutely.
their job and stuff like
Like,
that.
sorry, I'm gonna need time off work. I have to go visit my company in Dubai. I'll see you guys next week.
Exactly, right? That would be so cool. I mean, hey,
Really?
sounds like a plan, right? And
Sounds
I don't
like
know. Yeah, I don't know if you remember Amy from Ireland, but actually she's
a plan.
actually working in one of these workshops in Dubai actually right now.
Very cool.
So she's actually doing a lot of, this stuff for hotels and stuff. Actually, like, making custom art and stuff like that. So I think we've already got a connection there. We just gotta get her in on the plan to create that workshop too, Yeah, no, that's
Absolutely.
definitely gonna happen. I mean,
I love that
I
idea. I
don't
think
see
it's
why
a
not.
right,
Right.
of course. Why not?
Okay, so if there's anything else that you would like to share with anybody, what would that be, coming from either the survey that you've already answered or anything that comes to mind that you think can be beneficial for people or something that you've learned that you would like to share?
I think something I'm learning, I would not say I've learned it because that would mean I wouldn't freak out about it every time it happens, but roadblocks are not the end of the world. And being thrown off your course is usually for a good reason. And I think that's something that feels wrong. And I mean, I'm speaking to myself more than anyone right now. When something doesn't go your way, if you're someone like me who likes to have control over things, it doesn't feel very good, but it does require you to take a different look at things and kind of zoom out and see that, all the pieces fit together eventually. You just have to let them.
Yeah, and financially, just because you're doing a couple different things, how do you, or is there any other investments that you think make the most sense? Because it's just been something that I've been looking into, and I think I do see you definitely as a person that definitely wants to do that. Is there something that you do or something that you think you're going to do with investments, with finance for the coming future?
Right. That's a great question. Definitely want to finance into things more. I mean, right now I own two cars, which is probably the worst things you can own investment-wise, but I think that I don't know. I would love to get into property and things like that, but you got to have big money to get started there, so we'll see. Maybe one day.
I mean, hey, little jobs, like, start with, I don't know, selling properties first, like working for somebody again, and then going from there, of course. But yeah, no, definitely something that a lot of people, I think, want to get into, either that or stocks and stuff like that. And it's something that I've been kind of researching and reading about as well, whether they are liabilities or assets. And like you talked about cars and stuff too, I think, I mean, how, like, much to, or to what extent do you take that? Do you take, like, things bringing positivity to your life, saying that, okay, if I own this, it's actually going to be beneficial, or it's actually acting as an asset? Because, well, I like to drive two cars, and if I do drive, let's say, my Jeep to certain locations, that brings me happiness and I don't have to rent it. every let's say weekend or whatever, however often some people do that. But don't know how that's gonna work. But thank you, Lee, for coming on again. Like, if there's anything else that you know people can benefit from, we can definitely put those links in the description and stuff as well. And where can people find you if they want to ask you more questions?
Yeah, my Instagram handle is Lee_Hicks, and that's pretty much the only thing I'm active on. So come find me. My website's leelikely.com. It's got some old projects on it. Maybe it'll have new projects on it.
Hey, maybe after the woodshop. Yeah. One step at a time, and we'll worry about when the woodshop opens to definitely, you know, keep that updated as well.
We'll keep it on the website for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lee, for coming on and sharing your experiences. And this has, of course, been great and definitely something that I think a lot of people are going to benefit from. Yeah, it's definitely been good to catch up. And I think that, you know, we should definitely continue to do that more. If you're definitely going to get into Indian politics, we got to keep you updated. Right?
Exactly.
We got to keep you up. We got to keep you up on that and definitely, you know, keep following, you know, my Instagram and stuff. And I'll try to keep that posted, keep bringing in actual experiences that are happening and stuff. So yeah, and like I said last week, for now we're going sponsor free. This does not take away any places you'd use a discount code, but if you would like to spend some money these days, help a neighbor, donate to COVID reliefs, or just ask a friend if you can pay for their drinks, this is me signing off for today. This is your host Arjit Singh, and you've been listening to Kadam, the Small Steps podcast. If you found value in this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, let us know how we can make this better. A traditional career is always untraditional. Thanks for listening.